This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 441. This episode, of course, is brought to you by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, getting married or divorced as a small business owner can have significant effect on your business. Here to guide us through it is attorney Nicole Sodoma, who's the founder and managing principal of Sodoma Law PC, based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much.
I wanted to talk about this because this is an issue that is not very well known to small business owners, and then they get themselves in trouble. Because in a lot of states, basically whatever you own, your spouse owns the other half of it, or at least they have a right to half of it, right?
Depending on the state, yes. There is the idea that although you might not be a title owner of an asset that exists during the marriage, you may still have a marital interest in that asset.
Yeah, my wife says she has a marital interest in everything. She just wants her fair share 100%. You know how that goes. So if I'm a small business owner, Nicole, and I'm considering getting married, and my small business is worth something, or I think is going to be worth something someday, what precautions should I take?
The first thing we talk about is, I can't stress this enough, the need to maintain good records. Keep your family finances separate from your business finances. Keeping those records separate, it seems like it would be an easy thing to do, but if you're a small business owner, there tends to be a lot of crossover. So keeping those records separate. And one of the other things that I hear most of is whether I should have a prenuptial agreement, why I should have a prenuptial agreement. And it is so often a taboo subject. I tell my colleagues and my clients that it's the irony. We tell our teenagers that if they're not mature enough to buy condoms, they shouldn't be having sex. Right. But we don't want to talk about prenuptial agreements that are intended to protect businesses and protect finances.
Right.
So prenuptial agreements can be great tools, and nobody really wants to talk about them.
So let's talk about those two things that you just discussed. The first thing really is, is the reason to keep everything separate, I mean, that's just good business, is because you definitely distinct your personal finances from your business finances. So if it ever comes down to it, at least it's a distinct entity?
It's a distinct entity, and also from a disclosure perspective, it's a lot easier to track in the event there's ever a separation.
Absolutely. And in a prenuptial agreement, and I know that this is a lot of times bad news, but it's better to talk about it up front than to talk about it later on. So what kinds of things should a small business owner put in a prenuptial agreement? Or maybe more accurately, what kinds of things should they be discussing with their fiancé?
All things related to finances. I mean, we talk about the things that undo prenuptial agreements, and it actually helps us better understand what we should put in them and how they should be executed, the circumstances they should be executed. From a disclosure perspective, most prenuptial agreements have provisions that speak to here's what I have, here's what I'm bringing into the marriage, here's what you have, here's what you're bringing into the marriage. So that disclosure up front with enough time before you actually get married. So having those conversations early enough is obviously really important. And when a couple enters into marriage, when they've discussed all of those financial matters, they discuss the business, it's a lot easier to separate, and hopefully it's a healthier relationship.
And
hopefully they never need to look at the prenuptial agreement again.
Right. I mean, and I want to be very clear, Nicole, it's not like every prenuptial agreement says, you know, if we get divorced, you get nothing, right? It basically stipulates what each person gets.
Right. It gets everybody on the same page. It says, here's what I have. I hope that we never separate, of course, but in the event we do, here's how we think we should be handling it. And every state is different. Generally, there are terms that deal with whether there would be alimony. There are terms that deal with the business. You know, especially when you have a small business or a family business, a business that's been in the family for a long time, prenuptial agreements are great tools to have conversations to make sure that business stays in the family, who brought the business into the relationship.
Now, I also see that you also deal with post-nuptial agreements, which is after you get married. How does that work?
Post-nuptial agreements, and I would say look at your state. We don't hear about them as often, but post-nuptial agreements are contracts. They're executed by between married people, and they, you know, the best example I can give on a post-nuptial agreement is I had a client once who came to me, and what she learned was that her spouse had incurred a tremendous amount of debt that she had no idea existed, and so they entered into a post-nuptial agreement that basically addressed how this debt was going to be handled. That made her feel better about it. It recreated trust between them on how they were going to pay their expenses, and it gave them a second chance.
And you bring up an interesting point. It isn't like just about, well, how are we going to split the assets, which are good things. It also addresses of, well, the bad things, how we're going to split up liabilities.
Oh, absolutely.
And so most small business owners, you know, don't have prenuptial agreements because many times they started the business and they got married pretty much at the same time when they really had nothing. And it's kind of the business kind of grown up with their family. And now it comes to a point where they're getting divorced and maybe they have partners. What advice do you have for them, Nicole?
If they have an opportunity to participate in the drafting of the actual ownership of the company, so if it's a shareholders agreement or an operating agreement, depending on where they are, really look and define, think really hard about the triggers in the document that would terminate their ownership interest. Because a lot of these companies have these shareholder agreements or operating agreements that speak to optional or mandatory triggers to either sell their interest back to the company or sell their interest at fair market value. So really looking at the actual document that represents their interest is important for small business owners. The second thing is to understand what their ownership is and to know whether there would be a marital component of that ownership interest if they are coming into the marriage with the business. I mentioned this earlier that, you know, while one spouse may own 100% of their business and operate it every day, the other spouse may have a marital interest depending on when the company was started, whether there's been active or passive appreciation in that business, whether the other spouse, you know, participated in the business at all. It may impact the ultimate result in the event there's a divorce. So there are lots of things you can do up front that protect your interest that may be outside a prenuptial agreement if that's not where you want to go.
We're talking with Nicole Sidoma.
And, of course, consult with an attorney.
Yeah, of course. You got to consult with her. We're talking with Nicole Sidoma. She's an attorney and the managing principal of Sidoma Law PC. So, Nicole, is it a good thing for if I'm drafting a shareholders agreement to have that spousal exclusion in it where if you have to sell your shares, you have to sell them back to the company so the current shareholders don't become partners with the spouse? Is that a good thing?
I think it's something that everyone who owns a small business or any business should consider because once you open that door, you're also going to want to look at how you would value that interest. And there are lots of different ways to do that. You can get very creative in your draft, but understanding, you know, the type of business you have, the other owners that may be involved in that business, and your relationship and what the understanding is between you and your soon-to-be spouse partner. All of those things could be covered up front before you're dealing, and hopefully you won't deal with the dissolution of your marriage where we're dealing with higher emotions. These are things we can cover up front. It's just a great opportunity to have that conversation.
And I think that's really the important point is you try to deal with these things when you're not going through divorce, when obviously emotions are high. And if you can deal with them previously, you have much more of a chance of resolving them up front so it doesn't become a problem later. Right, Nicole?
Ideally, yes, that's what we try to do.
And so what, just in the last minute we have, what are the other big problems that small business owners enter into when they're thinking of getting married or getting divorced? What else haven't we covered?
The only other thing that I would recommend is getting education up front. If you're a small business owner and you haven't done your research to know what would happen, what you can cover in these agreements, you know, do your research, do the education, get your education on it. When you're getting married, you're taking on a new partnership. And hopefully it's a partnership for life, but unfortunately that's not always the case. So get an education early. Don't be afraid of getting that education. We do it in almost everything else. So having that knowledge so that you can make the right decisions, not only for the business that you work so hard for, but also for your family.
Because I always say that good fences make good neighbors. If you know what the expectations are, everybody knows how it comes out. I remember even if you're not dealing with marriage or divorce, anytime you bring on a new partner, if you have a good agreement, at least you may not pull it out for 5 or 10 years, but at least you have it.
That's right.
Nicole, where can people reach you if they want to get in touch with you?
In Sedoma, and SedomaLaw.com would be great ways to reach me if you have any other questions.
Nicole, thanks so much for being on the show. Coming up, how will Trump Care affect your small business? This is AM560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Ken Griffin, taking a look at the roadways in Antioch. Route 173 between 83 and Grimm still shut down because of some fallen cables out there. On the expressways, no delays on the Edens. On the Kennedy, about 29 O'Hare to downtown and 20 back out to the airport. On the Ike, it's about a half hour either way from Thorndale to the post office. Stevenson inbound slowing Cermak to Lakeshore Drive. The Dan Ryan also gets heavy right around Cermak coming on in. The Bishop Ford slowing 159th rather to 8094 because of a bridge inspection. And otherwise, not too bad. 8094 a little tight. Torrance to Indianapolis Boulevard and again Central to the Tollway. And 94 is slowing eastbound from Tollway to 149 and from US 20 to State Road 49. AM 560 weather, partly sunny, high 80, currently 71. Next update coming up in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Ivanka Trump made a rare live appearance on Fox and Friends.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
When she speaks, I just go to my happy place.
That's why Jared Kushner married her, I suppose.
She can speak because he doesn't.
Exactly. No one has ever heard Jared Kushner speak to this day. He just points to her. I wonder how he took his vows.
No, he just nodded.
I think she is an asset to President Trump.
Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, Bam, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is Bam, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of the book.
Finding great candidates to hire can be, well, like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is different. It doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. With its powerful technology, ZipRecruiter distributes your job everywhere it needs to be to find the right candidates. In fact, over 80% of jobs on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just one day. So, while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, only ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
Used by businesses of all sizes, ZipRecruiter offers the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/work. That's ZipRecruiter.com/work for your free trial. ZipRecruiter.com/work.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now, on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, what's occupying the news a lot this summer is that Congress is threatening to repeal Obamacare and replace it with something people are calling Trump Care. So the big question is, how is this going to affect your small business? Here to help is David Waring. He's the co-founder of Fit Small Business, a website that provides small business reviews and recommendations. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Barry.
So beyond the individual, I guess, health markets, how do you think this is going to affect small business owners when it comes to health care, which is becoming an increasingly big expense for them?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of confusion over this with Obamacare as well. It's very hard to argue that Obamacare had a negative effect on small business owners, assuming you define small business as a business with less than 50 employees, which I think that most Americans would, because there was no requirement, additional requirement to provide health insurance under Obamacare for small business with less than 50 employees. So there was no negative. And the positive that small businesses were picking up is employees with pre-existing health conditions were able to get health insurance in the individual marketplace, so they could, you know, they couldn't purchase insurance at all before and would have had to go to work for a larger company that offered group health insurance. You opened up a lot of employees who could now work for a smaller business who didn't provide group health insurance, and because they were still able to purchase their own insurance on the individual exchange. So I think it's hard to, I think you can make arguments against Obamacare, certainly, and it has a lot of issues, but I don't think the argument that it hurts small businesses, assuming that you're defining a small business as one with less than 50 employees, holds any water at all.
Yeah, David, so I want to stop you there, because I think it's a really important point. We have to understand that if there's something like 28 million small businesses in the United States, something like 27 million of them have one employee or less. So
right.
The vast majority have less than 50. And the other thing was, I think that having Obamacare certainly opened up the idea that a lot of people could leave their job where they had health insurance. They could go out. They could start their own business. And as you said, David, it did open up a bigger pool of employees who would have had to work for a larger company, but now they work for a smaller one. I know that when Obamacare passed, when the Supreme Court upheld it, that day my wife actually left her job and was able then to start her yoga and dance fitness business. That was the day, because previously she couldn't do that.
I'm in the same boat. I had a pre-existing health condition, and I would not have been able to get health insurance, and it probably would not have started my business had it not been for the ability to purchase health insurance under Obamacare.
And so what is the differences now? I know we have a couple different drafts going. You know, there's one that the House passed. There's one what, you know, we don't know what's really going on in the Senate. What's the effect of Trump Care in its many different forms? What effect is that going to have on small business?
Right. Well, it's, you know, the details are still being hashed out. And as every tweet, you know, things change in terms of whether or not this is going to pass and in what form. But I think one thing that's clear is that a lot of the protections that are in place under Obamacare are either going to be eliminated or they're going to be pushed onto the states and to let the states decide how they want to handle things like pre-existing conditions and that type of thing. Also, the employer mandate goes away. Again, this is only applicable if you have more than 50 employees, but the penalty for not providing health insurance under both the House and the Senate version of the bill, at least as it stands currently, it goes away. So I think in broad strokes, one of the things that it definitely seems is clear with Trump Care versus Obamacare is that there's going to be less protections in place, for people with pre-existing conditions or people that have not purchased health insurance and then get sick. And also older individuals are going to be paying significantly more, it looks like, under Trump Care than they would than they are currently under Obamacare.
So do you really think, David, that we're going to see a shift back to perhaps this is going to make sure that less people start businesses, or the pool of employees that can actually work for my company is going to be a lot smaller?
You know, how big of an effect it's going to have, I think, remains to be seen. But, and you know, will it have an effect, and will that effect likely be negative? Yes. I don't think there's any way to argue that, again, assuming we're talking about businesses with less than 50 employees, that they're going to be worse off as a result of these changes. And they're actually going to be less competitive in the market under Trump Care than they were under Obamacare. assuming any business that provides group health insurance, which is generally larger businesses, is going to be more competitive because, you know, people that are likely to get sick have a pre-existing condition. Older individuals, you know, their prices are going to go up under Trump Care, and so therefore, all else being equal, they're going to be more likely to go work for a company that provides health insurance, which is generally a larger business, and less likely to work for a company that does not. So I think it could have a relatively big effect. Yes.
Now you said that you really think that a lot of this is going to get pushed down to the states. Do we think we'll see a migration of people to starting businesses in different states that perhaps have better health insurance, like California or Massachusetts?
I do think you could see that, certainly. I do think if the states that do a good job of covering their residents, certainly that would be a checkbox in the column of should I start a business in this state versus another state, as well as, you know, not only for yourself, but also for the people that you may be employing and your competitiveness with those larger businesses that are going to be providing group health insurance. You know, and I think if you see that, you know, if you're in a state where it does not have good coverage, you're definitely, as a small business owner, I think, going to see under Trump Care, it's going to be right in front of your face. You're going to have employees that leave. You're going to have employees that won't come and work for your business that you would have been able to get otherwise. So it's not going to be sort of a behind the curtain type of thing. It's going to be right front and center. And I think a lot of business owners who don't really understand the law are going to be very unpleasantly surprised if this gets passed in its current form.
What about this idea that, you know, with Trump Care, it's actually relieving some of the taxes on the wealthy people, and that the wealthy people will now invest this money in business?
I think that that's actually a valid argument in favor of Trump Care, all else being equal, right? So all else being equal, lower taxes on businesses, great thing for small business owners, great thing for the economy, right? But as we know, all else is never, all things are not always equal. And this is one of those cases where I think it's 3% currently, you know, is what you're looking at in tax savings. I'm not sure that having that extra money to invest back in your business as a small business owner anyway is going to offset the negative effect that this is going to have on your competitiveness as an employer.
David, what do you think is going to happen to the prices? Because one of the idea with this health insurance being required, it was the shared risk, because that's the nature of insurance, right? And you need the healthy people in the market to pay a premium in order to balance off the people that are perhaps at a certain stage in their life or ill. What do you think is going to happen with the price of healthcare?
I think you're going to see two sort of opposite ends of the spectrum. I think if you're healthy and you've been healthy and you're young, you're going to see a significant price savings. But that's not really who health insurance is designed for. Health insurance is designed for people who are older, get sick, you know, that type of thing. And if you're in that bucket where you really need the insurance, you're going to see your prices skyrocket, right? Because you're not going to have what you're talking about there. You're going to have less younger, healthy people participating, and therefore there's going to be, you know, greater risk in that pool, and prices are going to go up. But I do think that if you are healthy and young, yes, you're probably going to see your health premium, your health insurance costs go way down.
And probably don't need health insurance. But the last 30 seconds we have left, this has not been brought up for a while because obviously we're in a Republican administration. What effect do you think a single payer system would have on small business?
I think it would be great for small businesses, right? Because that takes that competitive advantage that larger businesses who offer group health insurance have off the table, and it is one thing that levels the playing field between small businesses and large businesses, because you're taking, you know, whether or not the business provides health insurance, which is easier for larger businesses to do than smaller businesses, off the table.
And much less expensive.
Correct.
So, David, this great information, where you do so many great things at Fit Small Business, where can people get in touch with you?
Sure. My email is dwaring, dwaring, at fitsmallbusiness.com, and I'm on Twitter at David Waring.
David, thanks so much for being on the show. We'll stay tuned and see what happens.
Thanks, Barry.
Coming up, what are you going to do when people say really bad things about you on the web? Is the next thing you do pick up the phone and dial your attorney? Well, coming up next, that may not be the best option. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Larry Elder sees a glaring issue with the media.
The Center for Public Integrity identified 430 people who were, quote, journalists, reporters, news editors, or television anchors. What percentage of the money that they gave went to Hillary, do you think, of these 430 journalists? 96% of the nearly $400,000 that they gave went to Clinton. 96%.
The Larry Elder Show. Weeknights at 7, right before Jay Sekulow at 9 on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Chris DeMeo. USB-1 bombers and fighter jets from Japan and South Korea conducting joint exercises. The U.S. also conducting another test of its THAAD anti-ballistic missile system. After senators failed to pass an Obamacare repeal, President Trump threatens to take away health care subsidies from members of Congress.
The president sending out a tweet saying if a new health care bill is not approved quickly, bailouts for insurance companies and bailouts for members of Congress will end very soon. Some conservatives have been pushing the White House to end health care subsidies to Capitol Hill lawmakers.
Fox's Jill Nato. Former Montreal Expos outfielder Tim Raines leads this year's inductees into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Joining Raines, Astros first baseman Jeff Bagwell, Rangers catcher Ivan Rodriguez, longtime Royals and Braves general manager John Schuerholz, and former MLB commissioner Bud Selig.
Fox's Matt Napolitano. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Ken Griffin, taking a look at the roadways. Eden's in good shape on the Kennedy. You've got about 29 from O'Hare to downtown. Still 20 back out to the airport on the Eisenhower. 34 Thorndale to the post office. 29 to Thorndale. Stevenson is heavy as you approach the downtown area. Same story on the Dan Ryan. 57 is clear. The Bishop Ford slow inbound Cottage Grove to the Ryan now. Lakeshore Drive is looking pretty good. Tollways are fine. 80 is slow eastbound Briggs to U.S. 30. And 84 is slowing Bishop Ford to Indianapolis Boulevard and again Central to the Tollway. This report is brought to you by Jewel Osco. Shop Jewel Osco and save on USDA Choice Filet Mignon. 6-ounce portions, just $5.99 each. A 1-pound package of strawberries is only 97 cents each. And double up on Lucerne eggs. Buy one dozen, get another one free. AM 560 weather, partly sunny, high 80, currently 71. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he's finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
When I heard of Balance of Nature, and I said, because I had prayed, Lord, how am I going to get all this food into me that's so good to me? That's when I called. Now I know that I get my fruits and my vegetables into me, and I don't have to work so hard. I know that I am getting the proper things into my body. I do believe that if I didn't have this already in my body, my balance of nature, it wouldn't have gone so good for me. But because my body was healthy, that's what kept me going.
Take Dr. Howard's health challenge and find out how to get two free sets of fruits and veggies. We'll even ship them to you free. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
So what happens when someone posts a bad review about your company on the web, or someone says something really nasty? What are your legal and non-legal remedies? Here to help is Mark J. Rosenberg. He's a partner at Tartar, Krinsky & Drogan, LLP, in the Intellectual Property Group. He has more than 25 years of experience assisting clients in protecting their reputations from defamation and violations of their publicly and privacy rights, as well as representing clients in acquiring, protecting, and enforcing their intellectual property rights. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. Nice to be here.
So a lot of people get really, really mad. Their first inclination is, I'm going to get really, really mad. I'm going to sue them. And I always tell them, whoa, you got to sit back. What should you be doing if someone writes something bad about you?
Well, there's two types of reviews that you should be concerned that have different types of approaches. First of all, if you have a business and somebody, you have a dissatisfied customer, whether or not the customer is legitimately dissatisfied or unreasonably dissatisfied, sometimes the easiest approach is to write a response to review saying, I'm sorry that you've had a bad experience. Please contact us and we'll try to work it out. And sometimes an unhappy customer, that's the easiest way to make them go away.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, sometimes you have a review that's just a fake review, and that leads to all different types of options on how you pursue that. And what I mean by a fake review is a competitor, someone who's never used your product, things like that.
So how does this idea, Mark, of the First Amendment and protected speech really play into all of this?
The First Amendment does not protect your right to make defamatory statements. It's as simple as that.
Defamatory meaning what exactly? Because I want to make sure we get beyond the legal terms.
False statements of fact about a person or business. For example, a false statement of fact is, I went to the restaurant and there was a fly in my soup. On the other hand, First Amendment does protect opinion. I went to the restaurant, I didn't like the way the soup tasted.
Unless there was a fly in your soup.
Unless there was a fly in the soup, of course.
Right, then that would be okay.
Right.
So when someone says so how do you determine the difference? Because I think that, Mark, people get all tied up in kind of what's opinion and what's a point of fact.
It's just you have to read it carefully, and sometimes what's opinion and what's fact, you may need to get a lawyer involved who can help. But it's just I think you just have to go back. Each person has to go into their mind. Are they using adjectives? Are they talking about feelings, or are they talking about something that actually happened? And the latter, the actually happened, is fact.
Right. And so if someone does post a review that's negative, can you get it taken down, or you should just respond to it, or just get other people to write better reviews so it gets pushed down the list?
I think the answer to that question is yes to everything. And it goes back to my original statement, it all depends. For just a negative review that somebody had a bad experience, I went to the store, the sales help was rude, you're really going to have a hard time getting that taken down because that's somebody's opinion. On the other hand, if it makes a defamatory statement, I went to the restaurant, a rat walked across my foot while I was eating dinner, and that's just simply not true, you may have an easier time having it taken down.
So, Mark, how do you decide? I guess this is really the question for a lot of small business owners. How do I decide when to get a lawyer involved or not? When should I make the investment or when I just shouldn't?
You have to decide, one, how much money do you want to spend? Because getting a lawyer involved always involves money. And two, and it's closely related, is how damaging is the statement? No matter how good a service a business provides, there's always going to be a handful of unhappy customers that you cannot make happy. And it's a fine line. You know, do I care that much, or is this really jeopardizing my business?
And I think, Mark, you bring up an excellent point, because I think a lot of times people make these decisions out of emotion. They take it personally. And I always tell small business owners, you got to step back, right?
Oh, take a deep breath. Absolutely.
And then once you take a deep breath, I think it's also a good idea to consult an attorney, because for me, any attorney that's really good will not encourage you necessarily to pursue legal remedies as the first avenue.
That's correct. Lawyers are expensive. Even the inexpensive lawyers are expensive. And that's why you need to, you know, a business person needs to think twice before reacting. And sometimes the most efficient way, as I described before, is simply responding to the review. On the other hand, fake reviews are a different story. And they may be put up by a competitor or somebody with a grudge against you. Then you may want to get a lawyer involved.
Well, Mark, I appreciate your time. Where can people get in touch with you if they want more information or they've got a question they want to ask you?
They can find me on the Internet. They can Google my name, Mark J. Rosenberg, attorney, or send me an email at mrosenberg@tartarkrinsky.com.
Next to all the great reviews of you, right?
Absolutely. I make sure there are no bad ones. I'm kidding.
Absolutely. Mark, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk about how this year you can get your small business unstuck. Isn't this the year that you finally make the money you deserve? Stay tuned. I'm going to show you exactly how. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Ken Griffin, taking a look at the roadways on the Kennedy. You're looking about 29 minutes from O'Hare to downtown, about 25 back out to the airport on the ice. Now, 34 Thorndale to the post office. Outbound is fine. Stevenson is heavy from Cermak to Lakeshore Drive. Good outbound, though. 55 is clear. Dan Ryan is 21 in, 15 back out. 57 sailing right along. The Bishop Ford, though, slows inbound Cottage Grove to the Ryan. Lakeshore Drive is clear. Tollways are all in great shape. On 80, you're slow eastbound Briggs to US 30. On 80-94, you're slow eastbound Bishop Ford to Klein. Again, from 65 to the Indiana Tollway, 94 is getting heavy eastbound Lake Porter County lines around 49. Not seeing any delays on any of the other expressways, though, in northwest Indiana. AM 560 weather, partly sunny with a high of 80. Currently, we have 71. Our next update coming up in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he's finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
Welcome back. You know, you and I are very much alike. During my many years of running my own company, I had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. For me, it was the moment of truth, and it was a painful realization. My business had flatlined, and I had no idea how to breathe new life into it. Does this sound familiar to you? You know, it was especially difficult for me since my customers were not getting the service I was so passionate about delivering to them. Secondly, and probably most importantly, I wasn't making any money. Finally, my stuck business literally was sucking the life out of me. This was not exactly the way that I thought my business would turn out after reading all of those books. Well, it's kind of normal, sort of. During the life cycle of every single business owner, they get stuck from time to time. Do any of these things sound familiar? Take a listen. Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. It doesn't get much more frustrating than this. You have few new leads to customers coming in, and customers keep just fading away. You're burned out and you're completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family is starting to suffer as well. You got to get off the roller coaster. I know what it's like to ride this entrepreneurial roller coaster. I'm here to tell you it doesn't have to be like that. I've had my ups and downs. And I finally cracked the code at getting unstuck and moving your business forward. Over the years, I have worked with hundreds of corporations and small business clients to help identify the sticking points in their systems so they can take their business to the next level. Throughout the decades of running my own businesses, I've identified 6 major areas where almost every small business inevitably gets stuck. This is the year that your business gets unstuck. As you journey through my breakthrough training series, I'm going to show you fast and easy and permanent solutions to get unstuck. Each module includes a guided PowerPoint presentation, a voice recording of me presenting this materials in front of a live audience, downloadable lesson notes, downloadable homework assignments, and audio recordings of the 100 best of Business Insanity Talk Radio over the last 5 years. Whether you learn best by watching, listening, or reading, there is a format for you. I've made it very easy for you to absorb the material and develop a clear plan of action of moving forward. There are 6 steps to a better business. This is what I'm going to guarantee you throughout this course. First module is about find new customers and grow the ones you got. You know the drill. When business is booming, you ignore sales and marketing. And then business slows down. And as a result, you go do sales and marketing. This is a hamster wheel to nowhere. Your business remains flatline and stuck as long as you stay on what I call the double helix treadmill. I'll show you how to grow your business by tossing out the old paradigms and traditional sales techniques through my easy-to-follow step-by-step guide. I'm going to show you how to increase the revenue of your business without ever having to sell again. Module number 2 is finding money to manage your business. Because guess what? It's already there. As a small business owner, there's a great joke. It says, I sleep like a baby. I go to bed early and wake up at midnight screaming my head off. Does that sound familiar? Cash flow keeps a lot of small business owners up at night. We've all felt the crunch of following the Great Recession. Cash flow has slowed to a trickle. Bank financing is almost impossible. And customers, well, they're just taking longer to pay their bills. I have found that only 5% of small business owners actually understand the secrets to overcoming the cash crunch. Learning this module will always have cash to run your business. Module number 3, building a team that lasts. One of the most difficult elements of growing a business is hiring and then holding on to the right employees. A good rule of thumb is to be slow to hire and quick to fire. Unfortunately, not many business owners follow this advice. Instead, they hire the first person that fits the role. Then when the employee doesn't work out, they hesitate to fire them, no matter how many team members think they are incompetent. I'm going to show you how to effectively hire, train, manage, and fire people to maximize the leverage in your business. Module number four, customer service is the new marketing. While this may surprise you, the truth is that customer service is your biggest marketing tool. In this age of social media, traditional advertising really has become meaningless, and people are looking for earned media based on buyers' recommendations. In this module, I'll teach you how to create an effective customer service manifesto so your customer can be served at every level of your organization. Module number five, you got to break that social media addiction. It's no secret. The World Wide Web can be a worldwide waste of time. Most small businesses have no idea what they're doing. I'll show you how to make sure you use social media as your new marketing voodoo. Module number six, the real trick to all of this is boosting your productivity. Recent studies have indicated that multitasking can cause brain damage. At the very least, it prevents you from doing what you do best. It certainly doesn't allow you to get things done effectively. You see, here's the thing. Your employees will mimic the way you work. You could soon have a team filled with inefficient, multitasking workers all running around chasing their tails. Get the picture. I'm going to uncover ways to get more done in half the time. I'm going to make sure that you're productive, not just busy. If you want to be part of this wonderful program, go to www.barrymoltz.com/unstuck. Use the special value code 50 off WIND and get 50% off the price. You'll learn the exact steps you need to take today to move your business to the next level. I guarantee it. So if this is the year that you are really committed to getting your business unstuck and you still have some questions about how it can absolutely, positively change the way you do business, give me a call. I make available to all our business listeners a 15-minute free audit of your business and how I can help you get unstuck. The number is 773-837-8250, available to the first five callers. I guarantee this is your year.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Today's IT department is more than just a person fixing your computer or protecting you from viruses and hackers. It's helping people, and that's what Turnkey IT does. Real people helping your business.
Hello, my name is Phil. I am a network technician at Turnkey IT. There's not a lot of IT companies that are 24/7. Some of them are just 9 to 5, and anything after that is a charge, or they just wait until the next day to get back to you. But here, if somebody calls in after hours, we're going to jump on it and try to take care of it as soon as possible. We're extremely well organized. We have a process for everything, and we do our absolute best to take care of everyone and make them happy and do whatever it takes to keep them happy.
Take control of your business's network and important data with Turnkey IT. You'll have protection against ransomware and have rock-solid backups in place no matter what problems arise. All of their plans protect against viruses and troublesome ransomware. Visit turnkey.pro today and be secure. Turnkey.pro.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
How do you start a business during the Great Recession and not only survive, but thrive and live to tell the story? Well, my next guest did just that. Andy Oakes is the founder of Fresh Roasted Coffee, LLC. Andy, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
So why would anyone think of starting a business during the Great Recession? You got to be crazy.
Well, It wasn't intentional. I had decided that I wanted to start the business and wrote a business plan that I actually finished about 2 weeks after the crash of the stock market.
And so you felt you had no choice, but, well, let me give this a shot.
I just couldn't let it go. You know, it was one of those things I really wanted to do. And just, I'm not somebody to quit at anything, and I just had to push through.
So how have you been able to succeed during a tough time and actually thrive? I know that 4 years later you were on the Inc. 500 list.
Well, a lot of continuing to push through, not being willing to quit no matter what. I guess I don't really have that in me. We ran into a lot of roadblocks, a lot of problems, and we would just try a different direction. If this didn't work, we tried something else. And I always use the analogy, it's kind of like sitting in a boat fishing. You know, you throw your hook in a lot of different directions and keep trying until something bites.
Well, I guess what the hardest thing that small business owners have is that they don't know really when to keep fishing in the same spot or when to move the boat to someplace else. How do you make that decision?
Well, I don't know. I kind of put out a lot of different directions. And, you know, really, it wasn't even as much as moving as it was just keep on trying from where I was at with what I had available. And, you know, some of the things that showed promise, they were the things that I tried to follow through with. Others that, you know, I thought we were going to go in a different direction when I started, and just, I guess, I never gave up on that project entirely, but I didn't put as much of myself and time into it because the response just wasn't there.
So one of the things you're talking about, Andy, is that you got to have a lot of, you know, things going on, a lot of lines in the water, and you really see which one bites, and that really helped you.
Yeah, that definitely was kind of the first 3 years of this business.
And so we have 30 seconds left. What's your one piece of advice for people starting a business in a very difficult time?
Pay attention to what people want. You know, don't try to necessarily reinvent the wheel, but don't give up. You know, if you can feel it, you know, follow your gut.
Andy, thanks for being on the show. We're certainly not giving up here at Business Sanity Talk Radio. I want to thank everybody for joining this week's radio show. And, of course, I need to thank our sponsor, Nextiva, and our staff, our booking producer, Sarah Schaffran, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you are serious about being successful in 2017, this is the year. You got to give me a call and get your small business unstuck. I've set up a private line exactly for that purpose. It's 773-837-8250. Or, of course, if you're kind of shy, you can also email me. It's barry@moltz.com, barry@moltz.com. Isn't this the year that you finally get your small business unstuck and move it forward? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Hey, Sassafras.